From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin, on this lovely September 19th, 2013. Before I begin the show, I want to extend a tremendous, heartfelt appreciation to all of you who came out last night for our taping of Current Sports TV featuring one of the newest members of the Michigan State University Athletics Hall of Fame, Morris Peterson. That's right. I sat down for one interesting conversation with Mo Pete, and I tell you what, the audience, you guys were fantastic. You guys were pumped, and I had a blast. Now, and for all of you out there listening that didn't get a chance to experience that live taping, you can catch it tonight. Yes, tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Again, my sit-down with former Spartan hoop great Mo Pete tonight, 10 p.m. Don't miss it, WKAR-TV. That's Channel 23 for those in the area. We talked about everything from how athletes go broke to Mo Pete's favorite MSU memories to even a convo about his family in which he has one, but not one, but two. Yes, two sets of twins. Can you believe that? Two sets of twins, Matt. That's a busy man, isn't he? Oh, my goodness. Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, boy.
Without a doubt. Now, we'll talk about all of that. You get to see another side of Mo Pete, to say the least. Again, tonight, 10 p.m., Channel 23, WKAR-TV, my sit-down with Morris Peterson. Again, for those out there listening, you can be a part of Current Sports on radio and television by following me on Twitter at AlMartinWKAR, or even by liking Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. Again, that Twitter handle is AlMartinWKAR and facebook.com/currentsports. We are always sparking conversations for you all to get involved in. And today, as always, we are sparking another intriguing conversation when it comes to women in the field of sports. Yes, women in sports, people. Later on in this hour, I will be chatting with my former colleague, Audrey Dahlgren. Now, Audrey is now a sports reporter and anchor over at WLNS-TV6, a good friend of mine, and we're going to chat about women in sports and its popularity, along with women sports broadcasters. Are they exploited based on looks and just eye candy on television? Of course, you've heard the chatter. We've all heard the chatter. Is this right? Give us a call and express your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We're going to talk about women's sports and its popularity along with women's sports broadcasters. Are they exploited based on looks and eye candy just for viewers? Again, if you got thoughts on that, give us a call right here at the studio. In the meantime, let's dig into some of our headliners for today. Tons to talk about locally in the sports world, including some sad news, just really unfortunate news for the MSU softball team. Matt, of course, Matt Luckey is joining me right now as we kick off things. And Matt, let's dig right into it and talk about a story that really had me shocked when I woke up this morning. I tell you what, on Saturday's game, Youngstown State versus Michigan State, I'm grabbing my camera from the ComArts building. I come out of my office and I take a walk. Every Saturday, I take a walk from the ComArts building to Spartan Stadium. During that walk, I started to look around and notice that some MSU tailgaters kept staring up at the sky. At first, I was on my phone talking with my mom, and I didn't know what the heck they were doing. I guess they were just looking at the sky. Maybe it was a beautiful day. I have no idea. But then I look up, and I see the letters "Go Blue" written in the sky. Go Blue. Yes, an airplane apparently flew in the air over Michigan State's campus and wrote the letters "Go Blue," and it really was. I took a picture of it. I have yet to post it. I need to post that for you guys that haven't seen it. I'm sure many of you have seen it through the internet and so on. But yeah, it definitely caught a lot of people's attention out there. And today, it's being revealed that the University of Michigan Athletic Department actually paid for this to happen. Can you believe that, Matt?
It is it's embarrassing that they paid to have that done. Because, leading up to this point, I feel like people associated with the university would scoff at that and say, oh, it's just a rogue fan who did it on his own. Now that it goes back right to this, I mean, since it was the athletic department, I think that is so embarrassing for a school that they don't consider their rival.
Thank you. That's what I want to
like,
talk about.
Pick your lane. You have no business in East Lansing on that Saturday. We're playing Youngstown State.
Youngstown State.
They're playing Akron, which, by the way, they almost fell asleep on Akron and lost that game. So maybe they'll stop with the skywriting until it's appropriate. But, you know, it's a game that they're not involved in. It's a non-conference game. It has no bearing on their season. If we're not your rival, what are you doing?
That's what I want to talk about because, you know, when you talk about Michigan, and if you ask any Michigan alum, anyone who attends Michigan right now, if you talk about Michigan State to, someone that goes to the University of Michigan, they will tell you that Michigan State, of course, is, you've all heard it, little brother. That we are just, a team. Well, of course, we're the in-state rival for this Michigan team. But when you look at the likes of an Ohio State and so on, I mean, they look at Michigan State as not, and even Notre Dame. I would go as far as to say Notre Dame, too. I mean, because if you look at Desmond Howard's comments before the Michigan and Notre Dame game a few weeks ago, Desmond came out and said that, hey, Michigan State, of course, yes, that's our in-state rival. But when you talk about Ohio State and you talk about Notre Dame, those games are another platform. And if you compare Michigan State, that team, to those two teams, I mean, there's no comparison. We're just that third guy. We're that little brother. We'll always be that little brother. So if we are this little brother, if Michigan State is this little brother that you're constantly talking about, that our rivalry is so-so, as you say, why are you having planes fly over to the campus of Michigan State with the letters Go Blue? Don't get me wrong. It was a fun stunt, but it really, I can understand someone that, you know, maybe in a Michigan alum, maybe the alumni wanted to just do something fun and on their own pay for that to happen.
Right.
But we're talking about the University of Michigan Athletic Department paying for this to happen. Really?
Yeah. Apparently they had some Beyonce money left over from that Notre Dame halftime show and decided, hey, why not do some skywriting? But right. You're right. I mean, there's no reports of a Go Blue over, Ohio Stadium in Columbus or Notre Dame Stadium. Like,
not
just didn't happen.
Not at all, man. It really. When I heard that it was the athletic department to pay for it, I couldn't believe it. The athletic department, you know, to be honest with you, they should be embarrassed. They should be.
I feel like they're going to get embarrassed by once the national media picks it up, which I think they will.
Without a doubt. I think this will be on ESPN Sports. Like, if it's not on ESPN Sports Center right now, it should be in the next
blunder.
Few hours. Yeah.
Well, you just can't do it. Especially with the nature of the rivalry and like you said, how they're the big brother and you know, they're right. In their own world. They don't care about us. It's like, clearly you do.
Clearly you do. We're on your minds.
Yeah,
Michigan
we're
on
in
your
head. Like, it's just, you know.
That's funny stuff. If you got any comments on that, we encourage you to call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll definitely talk about it if you want to get something off your chest. Definitely. I know there's many Spartan fans that have an opinion on that one. All right, well, we're not only just talking about that. We have a lot to talk about on today's show. Let's start with the Tigers really quick. Hisashi Iwakuma. Am I saying that right, Matt? Matt's just waving his head.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Yeah, okay.
No,
I'm going to go with Hisashi Iwakuma. He kept Miguel Cabrera, though. He was great yesterday. Iwakuma was great. He kept Miguel Cabrera hitless and the Detroit Tigers scoreless, keeping up quite a streak. Now, Iwakuma extended his scoreless inning streak on the road to 25. And Justin Smoke homered off Justin Verlander to help Seattle Mariners. The Seattle Mariners beat Detroit 8-0 on Wednesday night. Now, Iwakuma matched his career high, going 8 innings, giving up just 4 hits and 1 unintentional walk. He struck out 6, including Cabrera twice. Now, Iwakuma's 25-inning scoreless streak on the road matches a franchise record. It trails only the 25 2/3-inning scoreless stretch that Joe Kelly had on the road for St. Louis earlier this year. Now, Verlander allowed 3 runs, 4 hits, walked 3, and struck out 6 over 7 innings. JV threw 124 pitches Wednesday, tied for his second most in a game this season. Since the start of the 2009 season, it was Verlander's 45th game with at least 120 pitches, nearly 3 times as many as the next closest pitcher in the majors. I also want to note that the Tigers gave outfielder Torii Hunter a scheduled day off and also rested second baseman Omar Infante. Tigers right-handed pitcher Bruce Rondon who hasn't pitched a game since September 2nd because of an elbow injury, threw from 120 feet on Wednesday, and the team hopes he can throw a bullpen session by the end of the week. Now, Smoke has 6 homers over 11 games in Detroit. The Tigers announced Larry Parrish. He will be retained to manage the Triple-A Toledo team next year. Detroit's Doug Fister will start against Seattle's James Paxton in the series finale tonight, and the Tigers will open up their series against the Chicago White Sox on Friday night when Max Scherzer will make his 5th straight start seeking his 20th win. All right, Jackie Joseph, want to give a congratulations to MSU head softball coach Jackie Joseph. She was a member of the 1982 Chippewa, CMU Chippewa softball team, which will be inducted into the Central Michigan University Hall of Fame during the university's Pride and Traditions weekend. Now, the Hall of Fame induction will take place on tomorrow night at 7 p.m. under third-year head coach Margot Jonker. The 1982 team captured Central Michigan's first-ever MAC regular season and tournament championship in any female sport. Joseph was a redshirt freshman outfielder for the Chips, who that season compiled a 42-9 regular season record and were the number 2 seed for the conference tournament. Now, the 1982 team still holds the CMU record for most wins in a single season with 51, and members of the team remain ranked in the top 10 in 16 single season records and 17 career records for the Chips. Now, during her playing career, Joseph helped lead Central Michigan to 3 MAC titles and 3 national tournament appearances. Congrats to Jackie Joseph. That's such an accomplishment. But I tell you what, even though we're celebrating Jackie Joseph's accomplishment, she got some pretty sad news concerning a member on her team. I shouldn't say a member, one of her coaching staff's colleagues, I should say. There was an accident in a rollover crash last night on Interstate 96, and it was found that Michigan State University assistant softball coach Charleston Fobbs, he was the man involved in that crash. Now, Charleston Fobbs, 47 of Canton, he was killed. He was killed in that 6:25 p.m. crash on eastbound I-96 near M-52 in Weberville. Authorities said his Chevrolet HHR left the road and rolled multiple times after he swerved to avoid slowing traffic. He died right at the scene. MSU spokesman, John Lewandowski, confirmed Fobbs' employment and said that the university will release more information later on today. He was hired as an assistant softball coach for the 2013 season, according to his official MSU biography. He had worked for the team as a volunteer coach in 2009 and specialized in hitting and catching. From 1991 to 2008, Fobbs was the varsity softball coach at Detroit's Cass Tech High School, where his team won 5 Detroit Public Schools League championships, 12 district titles, a regional title, and advanced to state quarterfinals. He was named head coach for the 2008 Michigan All-Star Game, District Coach of the Year from 2004 to 2008, and Regional Coach of the Year in both 2007 and 2008. He worked as an associate head football coach at Cass Tech from 94 and 2008. So definitely want to, from all of us here at the current sports, on the current sports team, we want to definitely send our condolences to the Michigan State University softball team and the Michigan State family. I mean, that's a huge blow. And to Charlton's family, we're definitely praying for you guys. And also more sad news, Ken Norton. Ken Norton, who fought 3 memorable fights with Muhammad Ali, breaking his jaw and winning their first bout, then losing twice, and who went on to become the World Boxing Council heavyweight champion, Ken Norton died on Wednesday in the Las Vegas suburb of Henderson, Nevada. He was 70 years old. His death was confirmed by his son, Ken Jr., who is an assistant coach with the NFL Seattle Seahawks and a pro linebacker for 13 seasons. Norton had been in poor health for several years after sustaining a series of strokes. Norton, if you look at his history, he defeated Muhammad Ali, the greatest, on a 12-round split decision in 1973 to capture the North American Boxing Federation heavyweight title. He was an exceptionally muscular 6'2" and 220 pounds, but a decided underdog in that first Ali fight. From Norton's former trainer, this is a pretty cool story. Norton's former manager, I should say, Gene Kilroy, he was quoted as saying, quote, "Ali thought it would be an easy fight, But Norton was unorthodox. Instead of jabbing from above like most fighters, he would put his hand down and jab up at Ali. Now, Kilroy said after the fight, Norton visited Ali at the hospital where he was getting his broken jaw wired, and Ali told him that he never, never wanted to fight him again. So, man, Ken Norton, he definitely was a tough guy, I tell you that. But Ken Norton passes away at the age of 70. Okay, on a more lighter note, have you guys been sitting out there watching television and noticed, two certain commercials come on and seeing some familiar faces pop up on your screen? Well, Golden State Warrior 4 Draymond Green and Washington Redskins QB Kirk Cousins have entered the TV ad business, folks. Now, Green was seen on an advertisement for Bug Couch Chevrolet in Lansing, while Cousins makes a surprise appearance at the end of a Meijer commercial on tailgating and food supplies the Walker Bay Superstore Center can provide. Now, Cousins, who appeared on the commercial with a Lions and Chicago Bears fan, said the spot was filmed at Lowell High School. Now, Cousins, whose winless Washington team is now hosting the Lions in Maryland on Sunday afternoon, has not played this NFL season behind starter Robert Griffin III, RG3. And Green is entering his second NBA season with the Warriors. And just like Cousins, he is looking to help his team return to the playoffs. So funny stuff. I haven't seen them. Have you seen those commercials yet, man? I haven't seen them.
I've seen the Cousins one. Have pretty you? Funny.
Is it?
Just,
I haven't seen it yet.
Just saw the screen cap of the Green one, and that looks amazing. Just just him selling cars is awesome.
That is pretty
great.
Funny.
But there's another one. I believe it's Comcast, and it's not an individual player, but there's a huddle going on,
Xfinity.
And it is Michigan State.
Yeah,
like, take a note, Michigan. That's how you use some of that leftover athletic budget money.
Right.
You put it in commercials. You don't advertise in skywriting over your rival stadium.
It doesn't make any sense.
You put it in homes all across the country.
Exactly. I seen that. You know, it's funny because I was sitting back, I think it was week one of the college football season, and that Comcast Xfinity commercial comes on, and these guys are looking at their cell phones and, you know, looking at the game for their cell phones, and all of a sudden, you see a Michigan State, like on the screen, and they're huddled up. It is a funny commercial. And
it
the
is.
Guy starts dancing.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny stuff. It's random. Random as
very
hell.
Very random.
Very random, but pretty funny stuff. So, all right, well, we're going to take a quick break. Want to quickly remind you that you can catch Current Sports TV tonight. That's right, tonight at 10 p.m. on Channel 23 WKAR TV and see my sit down with one of the newest members of the MSU Hall of Fame, Morris Mo Pete Peterson. Yes, the former Spartan hoop great and NBA player sat down with me. You don't want to miss it. All right, stay tuned because when we come back, I will be chatting with Audrey Dahlgren, sports reporter and anchor over at WLNS TV6 here in Lansing. We're going to chat it up and talk about the current state of women in the world of sports, whether it be players or broadcasters. And we are sparking the question to you all about where do you think the popularity of women's sports is heading? And are female broadcasters exploited unfairly based on their looks? Yes, call in if you got an opinion on this. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Stay tuned. More Current Sports is coming right back.
Meghna Chakrabarty. Next time on Here and Now, a new IMAX film on one of the world's most hallowed and highly contested cities, Jerusalem.
Why is this place so fascinating to so many different people, whether you're religious or not?
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm WKAR's Emmanuel Berry, host of Current State Weekend. Spend your weekends with me as I highlight Current State weekday stories and explore mid-Michigan's vibrant arts and culture scene. We'll cover from the latest at Wharton Center to the diverse individuals that make Michigan's creative sector sing. It's Current State Weekend, Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. Again, I'm reminding you all throughout this entire show, reminding you all that you can catch Current Sports TV tonight, 10 p.m. See my sit down with Morris Mopete Peterson. Peterson was a member of the Spartans 2000 NCAA National Championship basketball team and played 11 years in the NBA. You can catch that episode tonight, 10 p.m., WKAR-TV, Channel 23, for those in the area. And also, ladies and gents, we're sparking, we want you to call in throughout this entire hour. We're talking about whether, we're sparking the question to you all about where do you think the popularity of women's sports is heading, and what at the current state right now, where is it at? And are female broadcasters exploited unfairly based on their looks? Call in, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And I have the privilege of welcoming a woman who is a dear friend of mine in the sports broadcasting business. We work with each other as interns in college over in Meridian Township at Home TV. Shout out to Home TV, where we co-hosted All Access Sports. I tell you, we had fun with that show. She went on to become a sports reporter and anchor all the way out in Fargo, North Dakota at WVLY-TV, where she was hired. And then she was hired right here in Mid-Michigan at WLNS-TV6 as a sports reporter. Audrey Dahlgren, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Audrey?
Hi, Al. I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
We finally got you on. I've been waiting for this day. We finally got you on, Audrey.
I'm happy to be on. I'm very flattered. Thank you.
Definitely. All right, Audrey, first of all, tell people about your road to becoming a reporter here in Lansing. And I mean, you went all the way to Fargo, North Dakota. How was your experience there and how'd you end up here?
Well, my experience in Fargo was one I will never forget. I can say that, that's for sure. not just because it was so cold there, but I thought with All Access there was responsibility, but there's nothing like your first real job in the business, and it just showed how much work and how much goes into it. I mean, I knew it was going to be a lot of work, but it definitely opened up my eyes to the business, and I loved every minute of it, and I grew, and I had a lot of on-air experience, so I feel like that helped me a lot, and ultimately kind of helped me get this job back here in Lansing. So
definitely, Audrey, and I tell you what, does the sun shine in Fargo, North Dakota? Is it just snowing constantly 365 days? How is it out there?
No. It's actually very beautiful out there. It's really nice. It's a lot. Unfortunately, people don't give it the credit that it deserves. It is a lot of cornfields and a lot of farming and things like that. But right. The downtown area, actually, where College Game Day is putting their set this weekend, mm-hmm. is the perfect location for it, because it just shows that there's more to Fargo than the cornfields. So
I'm going to have to take a trip out there then. You just hyped it up for me. I'm going to have to take a trip out there and see how Fargo is.
The downtown area is very artsy. It's cool. It's very nice. And it's old. It's got that, I don't know, it's just a nice looking downtown area.
Nice. Beautiful. Now, I got to ask you, going back, you know, just let's take a trip in the past right now, Audrey. What made you want to become a sports reporter, and explain where your interests first began?
You know, this is quite funny. I actually told, because when I went to the Hall of Fame induction, you know, just recently for Michigan State, Morris Peterson was there, and I was telling him that I remember specifically where I was at the day that MSU won the national championship in 2000. And from that moment on, I think that's what really, like, solidified my love for sports, and I wanted to be, like, report, and, you know, I don't know. I was, like, 10, 11.
Right.
Maybe
right.
12. So from there, it just kind of
just
became
blossomed.
A passion. And, you know, my dad was a huge, you know, I always watched the games with him, and we always did a lot of sports things together.
Yeah.
And so that kind of, you know, influenced me a little bit. And then when I got to school and then I interned at Channel 6, I knew for sure then and there. I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do.
You knew then. I tell you what, it had to be encouraging. I mean, seeing another woman in the industry, because you worked with Lisa Byington, right, who I worked with a little bit as an intern.
Yeah.
Wasn't she great?
She was fantastic. I love Lisa. I love seeing her. And, you know, she just has this quality about her that it was really inspiring watching her as an intern. And I think that, you know, helped as well.
Yeah, definitely. And for those out there listening who don't know, Lisa Byington, she was with Channel 6 for some years and then went on to do some stuff with the Big Ten Network where she was a sideline reporter. I believe she's with the Comcast Sports Network now and also the play-by-play announcer for the Chicago Sky in the WNBA. So she's definitely a great mentor for both of us, Audrey.
Yeah.
So, and I got to ask you, Audrey, now, looking at your time back at, you know, home TV, and you graduate college, and jobs don't come right away. I mean, after I graduated, I had to sit, you know, I sat 3 months on my butt applying for every sports reporting job in the nation. Did it ever become discouraging at all for you?
It did, a little bit. You know, I think around the 6 months after graduating, you know, I think I was like, okay, do I keep pursuing this? Or do I try and get a normal job where, you know, all my friends, like, they're starting to make their money and they're starting to establish themselves.
So you had second thoughts then?
At first a little. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then I thought, I talked to, you know, obviously a lot of people in my life that care a lot about me and, you know, want the best for me. And the more I thought about it, and one thing my dad has always told me is that, you know, money will come. If you want, you know, a career or something, he goes, you have to wake up every day and you have to love and enjoy what you're doing, and it doesn't matter about the money, you know. Mm-hmm. Eventually, like, obviously if you love something enough, then that will work out. But the most important thing that you need to know is that you need to be happy and enjoy your day every day. You want to be happy when you go to work, and that's why I stuck it out too, because this makes me extremely happy. I couldn't imagine now if I wouldn't have stuck with it, and I would have regretted it.
Right, right. Such a great message. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us to Current Sports, we are talking with Audrey Dahlgren, a sports reporter over at Channel 6 right here in Lansing. All right, let's shift gears a little bit, Audrey, because we're sparking a pretty interesting question, the topic that's always debated, I tell you, and when you talk about women in the sports industry.
Mm-hmm.
We're sparking the question today to our listeners out there, whether or not, you know, when you talk about the popularity of women's sports, we want to talk about the state of the popularity of women's sports today, and also, when it comes to female broadcasters, are they exploiting unfairly based on their looks? Again, folks, call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Of course, Audrey, you are in the business. First of all, I want to ask you, just when you talk about women's sports, what are your thoughts on the state of women's sports today as far as popularity is concerned?
Oh, I think it's growing tremendously. I mean, especially because I think the whole, you know, sports broadcasting and the how accessible, you know, watching sports are now. But I think, too, that women as athletes and they're in their respective sports, I think that they're just getting a lot more coverage than they used to. You know, you look at even like, you know, the WNBA, you look at college athletics, and I think even in high school, too, sometimes, you know, I know in North Dakota, like, high school girls soccer was really big out there,
mm-hmm.
and we covered that a lot. So I think it's growing, and I think it's definitely a lot better than it used to be. I don't know. I feel like when I was in high school, because I played sports and things like that, and I think it just opens doors, and I think that's what it's doing still. It's continually opening doors for females.
Yeah, definitely. Now, do you think the popularity of women's sports will ever reach the caliber of that of men's?
That's a tough question. I don't know. It's different. It's just, I'm going to say, I don't think a sport will ever top football. Women's sport will ever top football.
Right.
Because that's a pretty solid male sport. And
so you think they got a chance at basketball and some other things?
I mean, basketball, WNBA, or, you know, college, you know, girls basketball, women's basketball. But I don't know. I don't think it will ever top football.
Right. Right. Very true. Very true. And we'll see. I mean, if you look at the WNBA, I mean, an athlete like Brittany Griner, I tell you, who is just.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, she is unbelievable. But,
all right. She could play with the boys. She could play on a.
Yeah, she definitely could. I mean, and I don't know if you heard this, but there were talks to even Brittany Griner possibly being registered in the NBA draft. I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. But all right, well, now Aaron just was in my ear talking about women's tennis. I mean, women's tennis right now is, you know, definitely on a level that I think is surpassing the men's in some regards. So, but all right, let's shift gears here again, Audrey. Now, when you talk about, you know, women broadcasters, there are many out there that think some networks just hire women based off of looks. Now, I tell you what, I was at an event when I was a reporter at Channel 6, and I tell you what, a producer flat out came to me, Audrey, and said that, I don't know how we got on the subject, but he comes up to me. And he just says, and we start talking about the industry and how he hires, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know, as far as women goes in the world of sports, I mean, we hire our reporters solely based off of looks. That's a direct quote from him. I'm not going to say his name or where he's from. But when you hear stuff like that, Audrey, I mean, what goes through your head?
Well, I don't like that. That's not very, obviously not a good thing, because I feel as though I've worked very hard to get to where I'm at.
Right.
I mean, there might be some girls or women out there that basically, you know, think that they can get that far and do that, but I wouldn't say that's the case for me. I mean, I've had to work so hard to get to where I'm at, and it's not that easy. It's not that easy at all. It took me a year to get a job out of college.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, I don't know. It's hard to take that in, but you know, that's why you just keep pushing on and you work hard every day, and so that people like that, you know, you give them a reason not to believe that.
And you are definitely doing that, Audrey. I mean, your work is great. I watch you guys all the time, and you're definitely one of those individuals that are changing that stigma, hopefully.
Thank you. I don't like that stigma, so I try.
I mean, who would, you know? Now, as a woman in this industry, Audrey, do you find, you know, because I'm pretty sure you're friends with other women in the industry, like Lisa or others, do some women in the industry find it challenging sometimes for the audience to look past just the looks and focus on the content of your guys' work?
Oh, yeah, and I've even actually, and this just sounds so, but one time when I was at home, I actually read somewhere too that people, when women give out their reports, they only retain, I think it's maybe like 10 or 20% of what they're saying, and the rest of it, they're just focused on what they look like. Like, they could tell you what they wore or how their hair looked or what their makeup looked like more than what the content of what they were saying.
Wow. That is mind-boggling, but not surprising to say the least.
Yeah, and so actually, one of my good friends out in North Dakota, she worked at the Fox station, and she was a sports reporter there, and she's female. And before I got there, she was the only girl that worked in sports there, and it was like this huge thing. It was a big deal. Obviously, North Dakota is more conservative in their ways still, but. Yeah, she saw that too, and she would have people comment more on what she was wearing than what she reported on. So,
right. So, how do you block out that and just say, you know what, you know, I'm gonna change the perception that, you know, that these people have while watching me.
I don't know. I thought about just going on air one day and just not even, like,
no makeup, nothing.
Like, I don't care. Like, I would do it like that, you know. It's not a big deal for me.
Right.
But then people would be like, probably say something negative about that. So, I don't know. You just block it out. I don't really pay attention to it, because I know I'm here doing my job reporting on the sports and what's going on, and I don't care about the looks aspect of it, so.
There you go. Such a great message for anyone out there listening. Again, we're talking with Audrey Dahlgren, sports reporter over at WLNS TV6 here in Lansing. All right, let's shift gears again, Audrey. Of course, you're at every single MSU home football game. I see you every game. Mm-hmm. I want to get your thoughts on this MSU football team, and do you think that Connor Cook is the right guy behind center?
Well, obviously, they showed some more offense in the game 3 against Youngstown State, which was good, which they needed to do, because that's what everybody has been looking for. But I still think that they have a tough road in front of them as far as offense goes, because that was they should have beat them by that much, you know?
Right.
It should have been easy. It should have been a cakewalk for them as far as on the offense side of the ball. I don't know. I think that Connor Cook, obviously, he showed some things that he could do in that game as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it's also to an FCS team. I'm not knocking those teams either because NDSU is FCS and they're extremely good.
Right.
So I don't want to get that message out there or portray that message either. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see now once the teeth of their schedule picks up. You know, obviously they're at Notre Dame this weekend. So I think it'll be a true test to see if Connor Cook can really light a spark. If he can do that this weekend, then I think that he might be a good guy for the job. I do hope that Maxwell, though, you know, he might get a chance to get back in.
You think he will? Because that's my next question. We had a caller yesterday that me and my production assistant Matt got into it about, and he believes that if Connor Cook does not come out and have a great game, if he doesn't play well, he thinks that Maxwell will be that second guy coming off the bench to replace him. And I think that I don't see the MSU football staff putting Andrew Maxwell in the game in that situation, because I just think they've used him so much, and they understand, they've seen the ceiling of Andrew Maxwell, and they just really just fed up with it. I mean, he didn't get any playing time in the blowout against Youngstown State. Tyler O'Connor got playing time. So if anybody, I think that Tyler O'Connor possibly will be that number two guy. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, see, the only thing why I feel like maybe they didn't play Maxwell in the Youngstown State game is because they think that he has enough game time experience, and so they feel that they could just put him in, I guess, maybe at a Notre Dame or when they face their opponents in the Big Ten this year. But with O'Connor, you know, he hasn't had a lot of game reps or game experience yet. So
right.
I think maybe I don't know if that's why they were, you know, playing him a little bit more. But I don't know. It depends, because I know that Coach D'Antonio and, you know, the staff kind of like how Maxwell has that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they might put him back in before they put O'Connor. But O'Connor,
that's the same thing. You sound like Matt right now. It's the same thing. And they're looking at me through the glass like, yeah, we told you. Well, we're going to see.
But I don't know. But the thing with O'Connor is that he is kind of slated as second if you would have you know, seeing how it went in the Youngstown State game. But it's hard to believe that they would put Andrew Maxwell as the third-string quarterback. But, hey, I don't know. Maybe they are.
We'll see. Only time will tell, right? I hope it doesn't come to that point. I hope that Connor Cook has a great outing and stays as the guy. But we'll see if that does happen. It's going to be very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, Audra, I know you got to get back, because you anchor today, right? 6
That's
p.m.
Right.
to 11, right?
I am. I'm anchoring for Fred today at 6 and 11, so I'll be at the anchor desk.
There you go. And Kevin, what, Kevin's off today?
Yes.
I tell you, Kevin, he's always on vacation. That time. I'm joking. Kev, what's up, man? Tell everybody, said hi. How's Uncle Freddie doing? Is he good? He's doing all right?
Oh, yeah. He's Fred. He's same old, same old.
Same old, same old. He's probably has on MLB Network down there as we speak, probably.
Yeah, Tigers are on right now.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. All right, Audrey, before I let you go, just really quick, your thoughts on the high school football season so far. What has impressed you so far, and what games have you been out to?
Well, last week I went to Michigan Center versus Grass Lake. They were both undefeated and at 3-0, and 2-0, sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pretty good game, because last year Michigan Center knocked Grass Lake out of their playoff to advance in the playoffs. So that was pretty good, but they're kind of, you know, farther in the Jackson area. I think Everett, I respect Marcel Carruthers so much. I think that what he's done with that program, and just knowing the kind of coach that he is and how he, I don't know, I'm really impressed with Everett.
Yeah.
I really like them.
They're good.
And they are good. And so I think this Friday at Holt, at Everett, they play Holt. But
right.
I think that will be a really good matchup, a good game to watch.
That's going to be a really good one, I think. And like you said, Marcel Carruthers, I believe they haven't lost a regular season home game in over a season now.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Actually, I think 2 seasons now.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. And also, too, DeWitt is always really good, and they're doing the same thing this year as, you know, they hope to do last year. They've got those 2 quarterbacks, so
right.
I see them kind of sticking out as well. I don't know, high school football is the best football.
It's great. Purest form of sport. I love going out to the games. Of course, Current Sports, the Current Sports team and I will be out at that Holt-Everett matchup. Great stuff there. And, you know, again, Audrey, a pleasure to have you. Again, I can catch you at 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock tonight, right? Anchoring on the anchor desk for Channel 6, right?
That's correct.
Great stuff. Catch Audrey tonight, 6 and 11. Audrey, thanks so much for joining me today. You take care, all right?
Thanks, Al. You too. It was great. I appreciate it.
No problem. No problem.
Bye.
All right. Again, we want to get your thoughts on women in sports. Do you think that some networks just hire based on looks? And where do you see the popularity of women's sports going? Call us, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We just finished talking with Audrey Dahlgren, sports reporter and anchor for Channel 6 News here in Lansing. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return to Current Sports, we'll talk Pistons, a big move in the NFL, and a pretty banging party that had one NFL player returning to his house looking like a scene from the movie Project X. I am not kidding. Don't go anywhere. More Current Sports coming right back.
On the next Fresh Air, legal scholar Evan Mandry takes us back to the 1970s when the Supreme Court appeared to have abolished the death penalty in the U.S., but in a case 4 years later, reinstated it. He's the author of the new book, A Wild Justice, The Death and Resurrection of Capital Punishment in America. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin, and I want to give you guys a quick score update. Seattle and the Tigers going at it. It is right now the bottom of the second inning. Detroit is leading 2-1. Again, bottom of the second. Tigers up over the Mariners 2-1 in this series wrap-up. All right, and always, I want to remind you guys that Current Sports TV, each and every week, you can always catch us each and every week, Thursday at 10 p.m. Tonight is Thursday. Well, today is Thursday, excuse me, and tonight at 10 p.m., you can catch Current Sports TV. Again, 10 p.m., WKRTV, as I sat down with Morris Peterson. Yes, Mo Pete, he joined me. He's a member of the Spartans 2000 NCAA National Championship basketball team and played 11 years in the NBA. You do not want to miss it. He was such a great, just downer. Earth guy. One of the best interviews I had. Just a really, really nice guy. Mo Pete again tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. That's channel 23 for any of you in the area. And today we are sparking the discussion. Do you think that some networks just hire based on looks? And where do you think the popularity of women's sports stands today? Call us 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Matt is back with me. Matt, you know, and it really bothers me because I go back to that instance. I will never forget that I was covering an event. You know, I don't want to give too much specifics and throw a name out there. But a producer came up to me and we started talking about how they go about hiring, you know, their reporters. And specifically in sports, they had one female reporter there who was actually at the event covering it with me. And he had the audacity to say, you know, that, you know, when we talk about hiring here at our station, when you talk about women, we look at looks first. We look at looks, and some of them hire just based off of looks, you know?
Yeah,
that's disturbing to me.
It is disturbing, and Aaron and I were kind of discussing it in the control room over there just about how they don't really give them much to do as far as assignments or, you know, like a sideline reporter, honestly, unless it's an injury update for something that happened during the game, what they're telling you isn't all that important. So I feel like the companies will just say, well, let's put a pretty face there and that'll work. But honestly, if you have someone who has some skill and some actual writing talent and, you know, reporting talent, they should be the guys getting, or girls getting, the top jobs instead of, you know, the pretty face who can hold everybody's attention for 10 seconds in the middle of a football game. Seems like their priorities are out of whack, but I don't know how you go about fixing it.
Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, when you talk about television, We live in a day and age now where people, just be to be quite frank with you, they want to see, you know, they want to see eye candy. That it boosts ratings. It's been proven to boost ratings. You know what I mean? If Erin Andrews is on, and Erin Andrews is a very attractive woman, I think Erin is great at what she does as well. I mean, that's one of those, you know, she has a total package, I think.
Right.
But, you know, that sparks, that when it comes down to it, it's about money and it's about ratings, and that's why they do it. Is it right? Heck no, it's not right. I believe that the person qualified for the job should have the job, to be honest with you. And it's just disturbing to me that some of them just base it solely off of a pretty face. I mean,
right.
To me, if you're going to do that, they also have to be able to do their job and report as well.
Right, and I feel like sports fans, for the most part, will pick up on that. If there's someone who just clearly doesn't know what they're talking about, but they look good, they're going to let you know. And I think that, again, going back to the social media age, people will voice their opinion and say, you know, this person does not know what they're talking about. Get them off of my TV.
Right.
Maybe that's how we move forward. Maybe it's just public outpouring. But again, turning to the internet for feedback, not always the best.
Not always the best. I mean, you got a lot of idiots.
A lot of them.
As Tom Izzo would say, hiding behind keyboards and just talking out their butt. You know what I mean? It's really disturbing when you look at that. But, you know, there are exceptions out there. There are many, many great female reporters. I mean, if you look at Robin Roberts, who was just honored at the ESPYs, she was unbelievable. Is unbelievable, I should say. She's still reporting. Another one sticks out to me is Hannah Storm. I think Hannah Storm's work is just creme de la creme. She's great. Rachel Nichols is another one that stands out. She's
great. Like Linda Cohn, longtime SportsCenter anchor. She's one of like the originals almost.
Yeah, exactly. You know. She's great. She's great as well. I forgot about Linda. And you know, when I worked at you know, as Audrey mentioned in our conversation, Lisa Byington, who to me, you know, other than Fred Heumann, I mean, she was one of the best reporters I've ever been around. She took me by the wing and taught me a lot of things. And as a journalist, you know, how to film, how to shoot, how to edit, how to tell a story. I mean, she was unbelievable. And Lisa Byington was one of those that just, you know, women like her are definitely working to change the stigma that's out there, that networks are just hiring based off of looks. But these women also can do the job. You know what I mean? There are many out there that can do the job. So, again, if you have an opinion on this and want to weigh in, 517-355-9527. We got a few more current sports topics to get to really quick, and then Matt's going to hit us with Throwback Thursday because, hey, it is Thursday. All right, SI's 100 players list. Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated's Ben Golliver and Rod Mahoney are gearing up for the NBA season, releasing a week-long countdown of the top 100 players in the league. Rankings were assigned based on a fluid combination of subjective assessment and objective data and didn't factor in future long-term development or team context. Team context, blah, blah, blah. Can't talk right now. The Detroit Pistons, finally appearing ready to return to relevancy, have multiple players in the top 100. New acquisition Brandon Jennings, he checked in at number 91 and is complimented by Pistons' big front line. Second-year big man Andre Drummond, he was ranked 61st, while front court mate Greg Monroe is ranked 52nd. Now, key free agent Josh Smith leads the way at number 34. And yes, I will post numbers 20 through 11 today and release the top 10 tomorrow. So, encouraging stuff as far as Pistons are concerned, for any Piston fan out there. Now, in arguably the most shocking move of the young NFL season, the Cleveland Browns traded running back Trent Richardson to the Indianapolis Colts for a 2014 first-round draft pick. Now, the Colts, seeking a replacement for the injured Vic Ballard, now have two of the top two picks from the 2012 draft, marking only the third time since the AFL and NFL merger that two of the top three players from a draft class were on the same team within two seasons of being selected. Now, Richardson, who rushed for 950 yards last season despite playing with two broken ribs, apparently didn't fit the new coach Rob Jucinski's offense. Now, the Browns, clearly looking to the future, now hold multiple picks in round 1, 3, and 4 of next year's draft. Shocking stuff there. Two-time Pro Bowl safety, Deshaun Golston. We talked about him on the show a few days ago. He has won his appeal and will not be suspended for this weekend's game. Now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneer was initially suspended one game after a helmet-to-helmet hit on New Orleans Saints running back Darren Sproles. Golston, who has had problems with unnecessary roughness penalties in the past, appealed the suspension, which has now been reduced to a $100,000 fine. Golston goes on to say, quote, I know there are going to be a lot of eyes on me from now on, and that's okay. I just have to be smart. I'm not trying to hurt my team, and I'm definitely not trying to hurt myself with the way I play," end quote. Now, Commissioner Roger Goodell commented briefly, noting that the substantial fine shows that hits like those will have consequences. Goodell goes on to say that players are adapting to the rules and techniques, and that the culture doesn't change overnight. That's so, so true. All right, soccer action for you. Lionel Messi, he had a hat trick. Yes, a hat trick. He is unbelievable. And Barcelona opened its Champions League campaign with a complete shutout over Ajax on Wednesday with a 4-0 victory. Messi, the four-time FIFA World Player of the Year, opened the scoring in the 22nd minute after he was fouled on the edge of Ajax's area. Then stepped up to fire a perfectly placed free kick. The Argentina forward made it 2-0 in the 55th by hitting on the break when Ajax was caught looking for the equalizer. Now Messi's goals leave him nine goals short of Raul Gonzalez's all-time record of 71. However, it was a different story for Chelsea. Yes, Chelsea was stunned yesterday, folks. They lost when Basel came from behind to win 2-1 in London. Boos rang out in the final whistle after Marco Streller clinched Basel's first ever win in England in the 82nd minute by flicking a header pass goalkeeper Peter Cech. So Chelsea stunned. Lionel Messi looks great. Napa, this story Napa Auto Parts said Thursday it is dropping Michael Waltrip Racing at the end of the year in the wake of fallout from the team's attempt to manipulate a race to get Martin Truex Jr. into NASCAR's version of the playoffs. Now Napa Truex's primary sponsor is in the first year of a 3-year extension announced in August of 2012. Michael Waltrip Racing said in a statement it respects Napa's decision. If you look at this whole thing, NASCAR took the unprecedented step of kicking Truex out of the chase in favor of Newman, who would have made it to the 12-driver chase for the Sprint Cup Championship field before the NWR manipulations began. Now, Michael Waltrip Racing was fined $300,000. General Manager Ty Norris was suspended indefinitely, and all three crew chiefs for his drivers were placed on probation for the rest of the year. So Napa says bye-bye to Michael Waltrip. Man, that story just gets uglier and uglier. All right. This story is just funny to me. Former NFL player Brian Halloway is on the search for the identity of hundreds, yes, hundreds of teenagers that damaged his empty home in upstate New York. Now, Halloway is tracking down the estimated 200 to 400 teenagers that caused $20,000 in damages to his vacation home during a party on Labor Day. This is a true Project X story here, folks. Holloway was not at the home at the time of the party, but was notified about the incident by his son on Twitter. Now, Holloway received photos from the party on his Twitter feed and has now developed a website geared toward tracking down the hundreds of culprits. Now, the former player says he has used the Twitter pictures to hunt down at least 200 of the teams that destroyed his home. So he's hunted down 200 at least. That's a lot of teens. He's already hunted down 200 of them.
It helps when these these naive children decide to post everything that they did that night on Twitter.
Like, come on. You know, that's guys, the one instance where you just don't post anything. We're doing something illegal here. Come on now, guys. Don't post it on Twitter. But he's already located. He's already hunted down at least 200 of the teens that destroyed his home. Now, the county sheriff's office is investigating the party, but is not discussing the use of social media in the case. There have been no arrests reported as of Wednesday. And Halloway, a former Raiders and Patriots lineman, played in the NFL from 81 to 88 and went on to win three Pro Bowls during his career. How about that story? That's a hilarious story. When I read that, I'm like, wow, teens just are nuts these days, man, you know?
Yeah.
We used to be one of them, though, but eh.
It's true. But if there's one, you know, type of person, I guess, who I don't want hunting me down after a party in his house, it's
Brian Halloway,
NFL lineman. It just seems like that would be,
yeah, it's a little scary.
I want,
right,
to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah, that's pretty funny stuff. All right, well, it's Thursday. Before we leave you, we have our Throwback Thursday segment. Matt, what you got for us, man?
There's a lot going on, or I guess there was a lot going on today in history. We're going to go back to 1876 to start things off. Mm-hmm. Hartford's Candy Cummings pitched two complete games in one day, winning 14-4 and 8-4.
Two complete games.
That's a full day's work.
Wow.
If I've ever seen one.
18 innings.
Yeah, and just cruised to two easy wins.
Wow. That's when baseball was on another stratosphere.
Yeah, exactly. In 1901, all Major League Baseball games were canceled for the funeral of U.S. President William McKinley.
Oh, man, yeah.
1947, Jackie Robinson is named the 1947 Rookie of the Year, so he gets his first of many accolades.
Have you seen 42?
47. I still have not seen that.
It's a decent movie.
Decent movie?
Decent movie. If out of 10, I'd give it a 7.
Okay.
Give it a 7.
It seems like, you know, pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward, you know. Just check it out. Check it out.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Number 4 here, we have 1949. Ralph Kiner becomes the first National League player to hit 50 home runs in two different seasons. A lot of home run milestones here. 1955, Cubs slugger Ernie Banks hits his record 5th Grand Slam of the season.
5th Grand Slam.
Yeah, I'm assuming he was the only player on that team who was doing anything because it's the Cubs and it's poor Ernie Banks. Here we go. 1984, Pete Rose reached the 100-hit plateau for the 22nd consecutive year. Wow. And he also tied the NL record for doubles with 725.
Pete Rose.
Guy was a machine.
He needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
It's.
I understand the whole gambling.
I feel like it's been long enough.
Come on. Throw him in there. Please, throw him in there. Seriously. Pete Rose. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Poor guy. Okay, 1988. I don't remember this. I don't know if Greg Louganis remembers it either because he hit his head on a diving board during the Olympics. We just watched it.
Wow.
Pretty tough stuff to watch. Always fear that that's going to happen in any sort of, you know,
any
diving competition.
Yeah.
Like, that is my biggest fear.
Was he okay? What happened?
Yeah, he was all right.
Was he knocked unconscious or?
He got out of the pool.
Okay.
So good. It wasn't the first time he had done it, too. He had done it a few years earlier. But,
watch your head.
But it wasn't on this day, so. We're not going to care as much about that
incident.
1997, Mark McGwire became the first Major League Baseball player to hit 20 or more home runs for two teams in the same season for the A's and Cardinals. Who knows what he was putting into his body then?
Yeah, who knows?
Surely it was banned. Another one on that same vein, 1999, Sammy Sosa became the first Major League player to hit 60 home runs twice.
Really?
Big giant asterisk next to that one,
definitely
too.
Definitely huge asterisk next to that one.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Man, McGwire and Sosa on this day.
I know.
Wow.
Weird. And then Ken Griffey Jr., finally we get to somebody who everybody thinks is clean and universally beloved.
Oh, yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr. pinch hits his 400th home run. He is the first major leaguer to reach the mark as a pinch hitter, which is pretty cool.
Wow, that is very,
very cool. As a
yourself. Pinch, yeah, you're a pinch hitter and you do that. Oh, that's pretty. That is very cool stuff.
That's awesome. And then keeping in with the recent tie, Floyd Money Mayweather made a convincing return to boxing after a 21-month absence en route to a unanimous decision over Juan Manuel Marquez from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I remember that fight.
Last but not least, 2011 Yankees closer Mariano Rivera set the record for most saves in a career when he notched his 602nd save in New York's 6-4 victory over the Twins.
Wow. Mariano, have you heard about the stuff about, you know, the tribute in Boston? There's a lot of controversy over that trick because right now, I guess, wherever Mariano Rivera goes, he's such a beloved athlete and you know, one of the greatest closer of all time that teams respect that and they understand this is his last season and, you know, his last trip in Boston possibly. Boston and other teams have done this. They decide to tribute him before or after the game. And Boston did it to, you know, it just goes with the whole Yankee-Red Sox rivalry. They did it by compiling a tribute video to Rivera that shows his blown saves against the Red Sox.
And he has a lot of them.
And he has a lot of them.
Yeah. I feel like if I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm not angry about that at all.
No, I mean, it's all funny. If people were tripping about that, I'm like, as a Red Sox, you know, fan or, you know, part of the organization, I mean, you can't honor them. And, you know, it's kind of like a roast. It's an honor to have something to show, to be shown that. You know what I mean?
You know, farewell tour.
Right.
From one of the, actually, the best closer of all time.
The best, yeah.
And, you know, he's your biggest rival.
Right.
For years, he meant the end of games or your season, and then, you know, the big 2004 turnaround, he was pitching when everything changed. So
he was.
I like it. I think it's
I thought it was
definitely
a great
better
tribute.
Than skywriting Go Blue.
I know, right? Yeah, I can't believe that story. All right. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Shard and Matt Ludke, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to WLNS TV6 sports reporter Audrey Dahlgren for joining me on today's show. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Remind you all, tonight, 10 p.m., WKAR TV. I sat down with Morris Mopee Peterson. He is the newest member to the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame. You don't want to miss that episode. Such a great guy. Again, 10 p.m. tonight, WKAR TV, channel 23 for those in the area. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. Stay dry. It's wet out there, folks. And as always, be easy, people.